is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. So what happens when you die? How do you prepare for death? Do you want to talk about it? A new movement started in Europe and now in the United States is designed to encourage people to talk about death and dying. We're going to talk about these death cafes, and later in the hour we'll hear about pre-planning your funeral. But first, to talk about the Death Cafe are Cindy Merrill and Pete Tunat, advisors with Arlington Memorial Gardens. They started the local Death Cafe and facilitate the monthly meetings. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for coming in today. Why don't you tell us, and Cindy, we'll start with you, what is a Death Cafe?
Well, a death cafe is a pop-up event. It's a place for people to come together and chat about death, anything they want. It is not a bereavement program, but it's a way for people to get their feelings out and share with total strangers, which is sometimes easier. And we always have delicious cookies and tea or coffee. And that's the premise. It started in Europe and has come over very strongly.
Pete, tell us a little bit about it. You've certainly been doing this for a while. What happens at these events?
Well, we welcome people, and we go over kind of a few ground rules. One of the major ones, since we have it out at Arlington, and Cindy and I both work at Arlington, we emphasize the fact that it is not here. There's no marketing to be done. So Cindy and I do nothing directly about pre-planning at Arlington. So in the early sessions, we had a couple of people that were trying to promote their business or a book, and we kind of had to squelch it a little bit. But my view of the whole thing is that it's a safe place. People want to talk about death, and their families and friends and coworkers sometimes aren't willing to listen, and we call it the elephant in the room. So.
Well, who comes? Is this people who are currently dying or have a family member that's dying, or is it just people in general?
It's just people in general, and it's every age group. It's any ideology. It's for anybody. Again, I'll say it's not for people that are grieving. So that we have other programs for that. But it's just for people that are curious and this is something that for whatever reason they have not been able to talk about in their own homes or whatever. They need other people. They want to connect and just see what people are thinking. It's been something in our society for so long where it was a taboo to talk about death, and we're trying to dispel that.
How do you moderate it? How does it start?
We usually, depending on the size of the crowd, we will break people up into small groups of four. And we have an agenda that has some questions on it, but the number one question we have is, why are you here? So that usually gets the conversation rolling. And then Cindy and I will just kind of monitor each table and to make sure that there isn't one domineering individual that's carrying the whole conversation and everyone has a chance to share. And at times we will, like halfway through, we'll just call a timeout and we'll move people around just to see, give everyone a chance to talk.
So there's not an expert or something like that that's offering their thoughts on death and dying?
Oh, not at all. We are not trained counselors. We are just facilitators. I mean, we studied a little bit with Lizzie Miles in Columbus, who's the first person to bring it to the United States. And I was fortunate enough to be able to travel to London and meet with John Underwood, who was the person that really got it started there. But there's no training per se, other than just hands-on, being with people. And I'd say our main agenda is just to make sure that everybody feels safe and they get to speak and share.
Well, you ask them to start out with why they're there. What are some of the reasons people come?
Well, the one that comes to mind for me is there was a nurse who worked in an emergency room and had patients after they recovered from their accident or whatever they shared with this nurse, you know, viewing the surgery, reviewing what was going on with them while they were unconscious. And she had no place to talk about that. She, you know, her coworkers and family just, you know, thought she, you know, was kind of strange. So she could, at a death cafe, she was able to share that event and share what it meant to her. And I think other people that come also have events in their life that sometimes they don't really know what's going on. They, you know, they hear a whisper or a breeze after thinking of their loved one, and they want to talk about, well, what do other people feel after they lose a loved one? So it's just, and I probably say this too much, but it's safe. There's no ridicule, there's no judgment. And so people can express.
What kind of reaction do others have? I mean, how do they respond if the nurse was saying that? And do they respond with, oh, yeah, I've been there too? Or are they just trying to be supportive? What are they getting from each other?
Well, they really bounce off each other. It's amazing. And then I didn't totally understand Death Cafe, no matter how much I read about it, until I experienced it. And I was a participant in Lizzie's Death Cafe in Columbus. There's an energy to your group, and you just start bouncing ideas off each other and talking things out. And it's such a release to talk to a stranger about something that most people never talk about. And
do you find that people come back more than once? Is this a one-time event?
We've had folks come back several times. We've even had one kind of offshoot. A gentleman kept coming to ours, and he was a resident at Maple Knoll. And he asked if we could come and help him get one going there. And I think they're off and running. They have an event as well once a month. I don't know the dates, though.
Yeah, I don't either.
But, you know, and several others have come more than once.
And there's no fee or anything like that.
Absolutely.
It's just a free service. So really, if somebody else wanted to start such a thing, they could probably do that as well. As you said, the Maple Knoll situation, just offer an opportunity for people to talk. Yeah. As they get going, and what are some of the more interesting stories you have from it, or maybe revelations that people had while they were there?
I think for me, one thing that I've heard a lot from people that as they're leaving is it really helped them define their life to be able to talk about death. And every time I would hear that, it just gives me chills. It's like the Death Cafe made them feel more alive, that you need to get on with your life and do the things that have meaning to you, if you have a bucket list or any of those little things. I've heard that several times. So, Pete, it's very interesting.
Well, you know, our logo is the elephant in the room. He's got a book in front of him, The Story of My Life, and the family is sitting in front of the elephant. And some of the responses I've gotten is it's made people feel more comfortable to have that conversation. It's eased the negative aspect of discussing death with your family and friends, so they feel more comfortable. And it's taken away that elephant in the room feeling.
So often when people think about death, they think it's a morbid thing to discuss, or it's just an awful thing to, you know, don't want to even think about it. Do people laugh at these events, or do they just cry?
Oh, no, they most definitely laugh. We have a lot of laughter at different tables. I mean, certainly we've had tears, but I would say the emotions go every which way. A lot of laughter, a lot of jokes. You have total strangers talking about something that usually makes most people very uncomfortable, and their emotions go everywhere.
Is it a curiosity as much as anything else, or do people come really trying to look for answers?
I would say right now the majority would be curiosity, because one of the things that I sense is as conversations go at each table, you can almost see the relief of certain individuals soften, and they'll smile a little bit. They're not as nervous as being there. So their curiosity may have gotten in there, but it gives them an opportunity to feel free to speak up.
You talk about a lot of different ages being there. What's the youngest person that's ever been?
Well, we ask that people be 18.
Okay, but, so it's not for kids.
I think we've had a few 20-year-olds.
And do you find that they interact well with the people in their 40s or 50s or 60s?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's wonderful when we have different ages at the same table because they have such different perspectives, and it's very interesting, and they seem to get a lot out of it themselves. So we really encourage every age group.
We're talking today about death cafes, and my guests, Cindy Merrill and Pete Tunnett, they're advisors with Arlington Memorial Gardens. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. You can email us, talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And if you've attended a death cafe and want to share your story, we'd be happy to hear from you as well. Again, 513-419-7100. So you say that the age groups really do interact well together. Mm-hmm. Do you think that those that are older, who presumably are closer to death than those that are younger, have a very different perspective on the situation?
I was very refreshed. I was with a group of older people at one death cafe, and I really realized how incredibly refreshing they were as a group of an older age group. It was very interesting. They were very open in their thoughts and were sharing very openly with each other. And I think it really changed my mind.
About
how they would be as a group together. Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Pete?
You know, the question is interesting because I look back on the experiences that we've had and the events that we have, and I don't sense age. I don't have a sense of this person being younger or older. It's when the table starts to talk, it doesn't matter. People just feel comfortable to talk. So, you know, I never even thought about, you know, what impact age had on the cafe. It's just so natural that the curiosity is strong enough for them to get there, and they have something to say about death or something to share of an experience, and the inquisitiveness of the other folks at the table it just seems natural, and I don't even notice the age once it gets started.
What about religion? Does a lot of come up talking about religion?
There is talk of religion, but we ask in the very beginning to, you know, not force your ideology on anybody. And again, it's a safe place. And, you know, people do express, well, I'm a Buddhist or I'm a Christian. And I kind of think this way or that way. But it has to be your own personal belief, and you're not trying to extend it to the person next to you. And we're careful as facilitators not to let it become too strong.
Yeah, we one of the things we emphasize at the beginning is non-judgment. You know, you can express your ideology freely, but to impose it upon everyone else at the table, we discourage. And if we will, as facilitators, as we move about the room, if we hear it, we'll sit down and politely and respectfully, you know, try to alter the direction of the conversation.
Is that your role? What are your roles while all of this is going on? I mean, are you sort of just walking around listening, or do you try to sort of be wallflowers so they don't really even realize you're there?
We'll walk around. We'll walk around and listen. And, you know, there's been a couple of cafes where there weren't a lot of people. In January, I think, of mostly, it was happened
Snowy.
To be the day of a snowstorm. But we did, you know, we didn't cancel it. And two people showed up. So it was really good because Cindy and I actually had a chance to sit down and be participants instead of just facilitating. So to answer your question, our main job is to listen and make sure the marketing and the judgment doesn't get overblown. But there's been times, I think I do it more than Cindy. Cindy is a facilitator at its best. There are times where I'll pull a chair up to a table and start, because I just love to talk about it. So I'll engage in the conversation as well.
Do you find people come with a lot of fear of death when they come, or is it more just curiosity?
I don't see many people with a lot of fear. I think maybe the people that have a lot of fear didn't come. I think these are the people that are curious and they're facing their fears. That's my personal.
Have you ever had a bad experience?
The only time I can think of is we had a lady who was expressing her ideology really strong. And I won't even, it's probably not even fair to mention what the ideology was, but she was just being very forceful.
Did you have to step in?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had to step in and emphasize non-judgment and respecting everyone's path is their path, and that we don't need to enforce someone's spiritual journey upon the other folks in the at the table.
Well, and I've had to stop some marketing. Some people that were there to market, you know,
right.
what it is they do. So really, we haven't had too much.
Yeah. The marketing was the other thing. And it's easy, really, for Cindy and I to emphasize that because it would be really easy for us to market Arlington.
Sure.
And we stay away from it, like, you know, very emphatically because that's not our purpose. Arlington has been kind enough to let us use their facility to have the events, but we stay away from it.
Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Bart's calling from Northern Kentucky. Hi, Bart. What's your comment or question?
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm a 28-year-old funeral director in Northern Kentucky, and I'm just so happened to come upon this topic today on the radio, and I think in today's kind of death denying society, it is wonderful to see that there's a comfortable and open non-judgmental forum for people to get together and maybe just discuss things that we really don't want to talk about. I mean, at my age, I am in a situation where I deal with death every day, and unfortunately in the different aspects of it, people are quite one, unprepared when it does happen, especially unexpectedly, but it's not something anybody wants to deal with. And I think creating a public forum like this for people to be able to talk about it is a great endeavor. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for your call, Bart. Are you 28 years old or you've been a funeral director for 28 years?
I'm 28 years old.
You're
I've been
years
a
old.
Funeral director for 2 years. I've been working at my father-in-law's funeral home for about five.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
513-419-7100 is our number. And Mickey is calling from East Walnut Hills. Hi, Mickey.
Hi, Mary. Bart is incredible. What a wonderful, wonderful man. Anyways, I would like to say I am so happy, too, that Cindy and your partner, I didn't get the name.
My name is Pete.
That you're handling these things. This is very important. And what Bart said about, you know, Americans denying death, there is an incredible text that is very important, I think. Just, you know, for reference, if you choose, by Ernest Becker, entitled The Denial of Death. And it was written like in the 30s or 40s or something. And it's all about American denial of death. Secondly, I've been practicing Tibetan Buddhism for 15 years. And the seminal book that is extremely approachable for Westerners to begin to understand and find some solace in the answers of what death might be. Who knows? Maybe it's wrong, maybe it's right. The book is entitled The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying. Not the Tibetan Book of the Dead, but the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sogyal Rinpoche, S-O-G-Y-A-L.
Well, Mickey, thank you so much for that suggestion. We really appreciate it. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
For calling. Take care. We got an email from Liz who says when one of her loved ones dies, she feels it's another star in the sky and feels a part of that person. I imagine that a lot of people have varying comments they have about people that have died in their lives when they come to the Death Cafe.
Well, one of the things Bart said that kind of hit home is that in the funeral home business and in the cemetery business, we face this every day. And we kind of get used to a lot of different deaths, normal deaths, but we also have to face the ones that are, you know, children or car accidents or heart attacks and with people in their 40s. You know, it's unexpected. But one of the things that's really helped me, even though sometimes I can't profess this to the families that are grieving, is I try and view death as a celebration and as a chapter. And in some beliefs, that may be the last chapter, but in my belief system, it's just another chapter to move on to other things. But the celebration aspect is one thing that I try to talk to families about. And when we pre-plan, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, it's a real good environment to be able to talk about it that way, because there isn't the emotion of the death of a loved one.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me about the Death Cafe. As you mentioned, you're both going to stay with us as we bring in one more guest and talk about some pre-planning in just a moment. My guests have been Cindy Merrill and Pete Tunett, advisors with Arlington Memorial Gardens. They started the local Death Cafe and facilitate the monthly meetings. In a moment, we'll talk about pre-planning your funeral. This is Cincinnati Edition.